Let me say that again. God will not quit on you. Are you going to quit on Him? Come on, are you going to stop believing? He said all things are possible to those who believe. To have any believers in here tonight. Glory to God, glory to God. Well, I might preach a little bit before I preach, so go to John chapter 4. John in the fourth chapter. You know, I refuse to be negative. I refuse to just give up. I refuse to give in, right? You know, life doesn't always happen the way that you think it should, or, you know, the way somebody said it would, or all of that. But here's what I know, that God is still on the throne, and prayer does change things. And I just want to go along with David, who said, you know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. Never's a long time. Come on. Never. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. Glory to God. I found out a long time ago that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And really, what does that mean? It means that Jesus died and took my place so that I could be right with God. Right? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? So I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. Come on. Glory to God. I'm telling you, we got to get an attitude back of that God is the God of the impossible. Come on. Instead of, well, you know, it's been this many years, it's been that many years, and who knows what God's going to do. Forget that. God is the God of the impossible for those who believe. Come on, do you believe tonight? I believe tonight. I believe that God is here. I believe God is awesome. I believe He's working. Hallelujah. You found John chapter 4. We'll get to that in just a minute. Hallelujah. I think about Joshua and Caleb, and they had to go around for 40 years in the desert, going from one place to the other, hearing this one complain and that one complain. And you know, even after, you know, God got on to the Israelites because they didn't believe His word and said, you're going to have to be out here for 40 years. They went, oh no, we'll do it. We'll do it. He said, too late. Right? Too late. You're all going to die out here in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb, they're going to go out. So think about that for 40 years. 40 years. It's just a few paragraphs in the Bible, but 40 years they're wandering around in the circle. But the whole time they're going, we're going in, we're going in. We're well able. How do I know that? Because Joshua asked Caleb when Caleb was about to take his land, and his was one of the last ones that was conquered. He says, Hey, dude, you need any help? He says, no, man, I've seen this 40 years ago. I've seen it every day since then. He was 80 years old, right? I am well able to take this land. Why? Because he never let the dream die. That he served the God of the impossible. Right? He didn't give up. He didn't quit. So I refuse to give up. I refuse to quit. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I want to talk to you tonight and get you stirred up that God's got a miracle for you. I don't know what you need, but God's got a miracle for you. And I want you to believe God tonight. I want you to get back into the place where you're believing. You're not just occupying. You're just not, you know, just, well, you know, whatever happens, happens. No, God needs us to hook up with our believers. So He said all things are possible to those who believe. So that indicates to me that if you don't believe, it might not be possible. Right? But here's what I'm saying. Is it that unsaved loved one that's so far from God, you know, they're going to hell, you just know it. They're not impossible. Right? That politician or that, you know. Come on. It's not impossible. It's, you know, the election might not have gone exactly that, but it's not impossible for God to do something miraculous. Come on. It's not impossible. God, you know, God didn't wake up this morning and go, oh, man, didn't go the way I planned it. You know, no. God is the God of the impossible. Glory to God. Now, this is the story, and we're going to read the story of the woman at the well. But we get into this, and we'll read much of it. I want you to get the understanding that Jesus had to prepare her heart for a miracle. Jesus had to prepare her heart to be able to receive the living water that He wanted to give. Jesus had to prepare her heart to receive Himself. And we're gonna read about that. So in looking at that, it's like, okay, Lord, I want You to prepare my heart. One of the things that God has been stirring on my heart is that Jesus said part of the anointing that He came for was to heal the brokenhearted. But I wonder sometimes if we're not yielding our hearts completely to Him, and maybe that's some of the reason that we hang on to the brokenness. Just chew on that for a while. Anyway, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself did not baptize His disciples, He left Judea and departed into Galilee. But He needed to go through Samaria. And again, Samaria was a place where there were people that they were crossbred Jewish people that got into sin, and they did what God asked them not to do. And so to the real Jews, these were like, stay away from me, right? They had the spiritual plague, if you will, okay? So verse 5, He said He came to Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied in His journey, and thus sat by the well, it was about the sixth hour. Have you ever thought about Jesus, Him walking on the earth? Now, we see Him in a white robe with scars and all of that, but He lived on the earth as a man. You know what that means? That He got thirsty, He got hungry, He got tired. He had all the physical limitations that we have. But His spirit was full of the Spirit of God. Now watch this now. So a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to Him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Here's the first condition of her heart, that she thought of herself less than because of the position that she was born in. Come on, how many of us go, well, you know, I mean, if I'd only been born to this person or that person, or because my dad did this to me, or because my mom did this to me, or because my family was dysfunctional. I just got a clue for you. Somebody asked me, says, this is years ago, they said, "Man, you must deal with a lot of dysfunctional families." I just, right out of my mouth, I said, "I've not met a functional one yet." Amen. Right? I mean, why? Why? Because we're all messed up. We all got stuff. Right? But watch this. You can't look at yourself through the eyes of who you are or who you were born to. You have to begin to look at yourself through the eyes of the One who came and gave you the ability to be born again. Born again means begotten of the Father or fathered by the Father. Come on. So come on. I'm fathered by the Father. When I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, He became my Father, my God. But as long as I look at myself as the man before I was born again, I'm going to be in a position where I can't receive everything that God has for me. Right? I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of me. I've been accepted by the Beloved. I'm in the Beloved, right? God has redeemed me. He loves me. Come on, are you with me tonight? So this woman is seeing herself as who she is, who everybody has told her that she is, and that she's an outcast. Now, verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." See, you'll never know who you are until you know who Jesus is. Let me say that again. You'll never know who you are until you know who Jesus is. As long as you see yourself in yourself and not see yourself in Jesus, you'll always live below where God wants you to be. Listen to what he's saying. Man, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me to give you a drink. And man, that drink, you'd have living water. How many know that the Bible says that when you became born again, you received eternal life? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Received eternal life. And some of us go, you know, it's going to be great when we get to heaven, and it will be. But the reality is that we have eternal life right now. I'm alive in God. I have the life of God in me. He's given me life. He's given me life. And so this Jesus was trying to get this woman attention off of herself and where she was born and her past and get it onto him. Tonight, come on. We need to get ourselves out of our situation, out of where we came in tonight, what was going on in our lives tonight, what, you know, all of the things that are going on, and get our attention back on Jesus. Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Mm-mm-mm-mm. How many think it would be cool if Jesus walked through the doors and came up here? Come on, I'd love it. I'd love it. But you know what the reality is? He's here. He said he'd come and he'd make his abode with you. And if you're here, he's here. Right? Come on. He's here. He's here. Oh, glory to God. Not only that, he said, "I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will abide inside of you. And the Holy Spirit will teach you all things." But maybe we're not receiving what the Holy Spirit wants to give to us because we're living out of our past instead of who we're born into. Are you listening to me tonight? I want to elevate you. I want you going out of here going, "Man, I'm a child of the living God. Devil, I don't care what you throw at me. God is with me, and he'll see me through." Glory to God. The woman said to her, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then do you get this living water?" In other words, the woman looked at the natural things and tried to figure out what Jesus was saying through her pea brain. You know, the noodle. This thing up here. You know, you can't figure out God with your noodle. God is logical, but he's above your logic. God's intelligence, but he's way above your intelligent level. Right? So if you say, "God, I'm trying to figure out at my level," he said, "Forget it. Don't try. But I've made a way that you can come up to my level." Paul said it this way, "I pray that you'd get a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of God, that the eyes of your understanding would become enlightened." Right? Jesus was trying to enlighten this woman to who he was so that she could get what she needed. And tonight, I believe that God is wanting to do the same thing with us tonight. I'm believing for miracles tonight. I'm believing for answers tonight. I'm believing for deliverance tonight. Verse 12 says, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." Do you know that Abraham came through the promised land and Jacob, they dug a bunch of wells, but later in the Bible it talks about all the wells had been capped up. And so they had to go and they had to uncap the wells. When you got born again, there was a well of water, living water, that was springing up on the inside of you. But because you're just looking at yourself through your natural eyes and not really perceiving what God has for you, you've capped the well of the spring of water that God has for you. In that spring of water is healing, it's peace, it's joy, it's all of your needs met. That well is springing up on the inside of you unless you've capped it by limiting God to who you are instead of who He is. I want to uncap that well tonight just a little bit. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. We're going to watch God do it. And it's easy to get into life and let life happen and this didn't go right and that didn't go right. And all of a sudden you begin to think, well, maybe God isn't for me. Or maybe I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I didn't do this. Therefore, what God told me won't come to pass. And the reality is that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin that I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he said, as far as the east is from the west, I'll remember your sins no more. Right? That's the work that Jesus did in us, right? So if we've confessed our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, once, if we've messed up, and everybody does, we need to, first of all, go before Him and say, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. And then give me the power not to mess up again. But the second that you do that, you have to see yourself as clean because He said you're clean. You may not feel clean. You might walk around under the umbrella of condemnation of your actions or your daddy's actions or your grandpappy's actions or whatever. But the reality is that Jesus said, you are clean from all of that. I just love that. I just love that. Now watch. 15, verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. So she's going, I want this. But watch it. I want this because it's going to benefit me. And Jesus said, you're not quite ready for what I got for you. You're not quite ready. Because listen to what He responds to her. First, He's already told her, I'll give you living water. You don't know who you're talking to. If you really understood who you were talking to, you'd be asking me for a drink. She says, well, give it to me. And then He says, not quite yet. Watch this. And Jesus answered and said to her, wrong verse. Verse 16. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you are now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. Jesus was trying to get this woman to a place where she wasn't hiding behind her sin, but that she could expose the sin so that the sin could be dealt with. Why is this important? I think sometimes God wants to heal our broken heart, but we've stuffed so much inside of us that we're not allowing God into that part of our heart so that it can be healed. Right? Now you know this. Many people who go through trauma, in fact, I've heard of people say, well, you know, this person was doing this to me, but I was over here while they were doing it. That was just my body and my I was over here watching them do that. And the reality is that no, that was a part of who they are and where they are. But God wants to come into the midst of that and heal that. Right? Whether it's something done to you or something that you've done to somebody else, Jesus wants you to be honest with that and open with that and not be afraid to tell Him about that, because that's a key to getting your heart healed. Right? Jesus wasn't saying, I got some goods on you. You Samaritan woman, I'm going to put you down right now. He was not trying to put her down. He was not trying to make her feel less than. He was trying to put her in a position where she could see what her answer was. Come on. God wants to do that for us tonight. God, I've been praying a lot lately. Lord, show me my heart. David said it this way. Lord, examine my heart and see if there's any iniquity hidden therein. In other words, I might have something going on inside of me that I don't even really recognize. Man, I want God to expose that in me. Why? Because oftentimes that's keeping me from doing what God's called me to do. And that's not always what we'd consider a negative thing. Watch, I'll give you an example. Years ago, I got a hold of a book, was reading it, and the Lord began to speak to me through it. And He said, you know, when you go and you're around other people and you allow your shyness to keep you from contributing to them, you're robbing them of what God has for them. In other words, you're thinking more of yourself than you are them. Oh, but God, how can that be? And He began to speak to me about, look, it's not about you, it's about my Spirit using you to bless somebody else. But if you're so wrapped up in how you're going to look or what they're going to think of you or whatever, then you cannot be in a position to be used by me the way I want you to be used. Okay. I was actually, by being shy, I was being selfish. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So what Jesus is doing here is He wants to get to the root of the matter. He wants to get to the core of the issue. Right? He's trying to dig deep down into her heart to clean that out. Have you ever had something, and I don't want to get too gross, but it just bears with, you know, you've had a wound and you clean that out and you're trying to get it healed. It starts to look better and all of a sudden you're thinking, I'm getting well, and then all of a sudden it flares up again. And the reason it flares up is because you haven't got the core of the thing. You cleaned around it, but you didn't get down into the very core of the thing. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's wanting to clean and get to the core of the wound so that when the wound is cleaned, it will heal over and won't be infected again. Right? So it's like, Lord, here I am. How many trust the Lord? Come on, do we trust Him? You have to get to the point where you just trust Him and say, God, I want Your way no matter what is going on. I want You and Your way. Listen to this now. This is so good. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you've had five husbands, and the one who you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And listen, the woman said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. She was finally getting to the place where she recognized who Jesus was. She opened the door to receive from the Spirit so that she could receive of the living water what God had for her, because she didn't go, who are you to tell me I've had five husbands and I want to, who do you think you are? You're just one of those stuck-up Jews. Right? No, she said, now I perceive that God is speaking here. Come on. How many times has God tried to speak to us, but we haven't perceived that He was talking? Whew. Glory to God. He's talking tonight. I said, He's talking tonight. verse 20. It says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place to work where one ought to worship. And I can just imagine. Now, I'm going to give this a little bit of liberty. Jesus said to her, Woman, you're not getting it. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. See, up to this point, because of sin, because Adam had sinned, and sin was carried through the bloodline up to this point where Jesus was living, there was no way to worship in the spirit and in truth. Because you have to worship from the place of having a clean spirit, because a clean spirit is the only spirit that can commune with God. Right? He said, up to this point it hasn't happened, but now it's going to happen. And it's not about where you are, but it's about who you're with. Come on. I mean, how many times, man, I got to get to church. I got to worship the Lord. I need the presence of God. I need to get to a meeting. And I understand the corporate meetings. I understand, or, you know, being in places where His anointing is strong. I understand all that. But the reality is, if we truly believe who Jesus is and what He's done, then we wouldn't have to go somewhere. We could just say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come boldly before Your throne of grace. Come on. And the moment we say that, whether we feel it, whether we sense it or whatever, we have to know that right now, because I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, and because I'm Your son, I'm right before Your throne. Come on, do you believe that tonight? Father, in the... Yes, 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 yes. You know, Paul said in Ephesians that we're seated with Him in heavenly places. What does that mean? In His position at the right hand of the Father, because we're in Him, we're with Him. Lord, open my eyes to see who You say that I am, so that I can experience what You have for me. God's got something good for you. I'm believing this year is a year of restoration, that God is going to do some miraculous things. The people are going to start coming to the Lord in ways that we've never seen before. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not saying that, well, you know, I mean, the one I wanted to get be president isn't president, so therefore everything's, you know, lost. No, I think it's the greatest opportunity we've ever had to believe God and to see Him bring people to Himself. Right? But if we're going to lead somebody to Jesus, we need to be in Jesus. We need to have faith in the One who's called us. We need to take our hearts to Him and say, Lord, if there's anything in my heart that's keeping me from being a full believer and keeping any of that living water out of my space, I want to get rid of that so that that living water can be that untapped fountain that just is springing up into everlasting life. Come on. Come on. I believe that. I believe that God wants to do that. The woman said to Him, verse 25, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when He comes, He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, see, she was finally at the place where He could reveal Himself to her. Are we at the place where Jesus can reveal Himself to us tonight? Amen. Right? If we're not, let's get there in a hurry. Let's say, Lord, I don't want somebody else's opinion. I don't necessarily want to go on what I think, but I open myself up to you. I remember when I first came to know the Lord, and when we say I got saved, what it really means is that I took the message to heart and I accepted it for myself. And the minute that I did that, I became born again and Jesus became Lord of my life. But the moment before that, while I was leading up to that, and I prayed this prayer. A guy was witnessing to me, and at that time, he tried to witness to me several times. And if I saw him coming one way, I'd run the other way because I didn't want to hear it. Watch this. But finally, he cornered me and was witnessing to me. And all of a sudden, God said this and God did that. And I'm like, man, this guy has lost it. Or is it possible that God could speak to me? That was a huge deal for me. And so I prayed this prayer. God, if there is a God. See, because I was born in a church, raised in a church, knew all the stories about Jesus. But I was at the place in my life where my intellect had gone beyond, you know, its ability to receive what God had for me. I said, God, if there is a God, you know, say this to him. And you know, something I was going through, it happened exactly that way. The guy, the next thing out of his mouth was exactly what I was talking to the God, if there is a God. And that God, if there is a God, spoke through him to me. And I thought, that's quite a coincidence. And so I did it again. God did it again. He did it again. And I said, if God speaks to him, would he speak to me? What was happening? The Holy Spirit was dealing with my heart to get it to the place where I was ready to receive a Messiah. See, in order to get saved, you need to know that you need a Messiah. What does that mean? As long as you think you're all right the way you are, I'm a good person, right? You don't need a Messiah. I'm better than that guy. That guy's a jerk. I mean, I look like St. Bruce compared to him, right? As long as you're in that position and you're comparing yourself to somebody else, you're not in the position to receive from God. But when you get to the position where you go, Lord, my goodness compared to your goodness isn't so good. Right? The standard is just too high. So I can't come to you on my own. I have to have somebody to pay the price for my sins. And that's the point that I got to. That's the point that this woman has gotten to. And Jesus said to her, verse 26, I who speak to you am he. Did you realize that this was the first person that Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah to? The first one, the Samaritan woman, the woman who wasn't of the right family, the woman who had a past, the woman who was, you know, condemned to live a life outside of the good graces of respectable people. Five husbands living with somebody. But Jesus said, I am the Christ, and I've come because your heart is right with me, and I've come to you. Come on tonight. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter your family tree. What matters is your heart ready to receive what God has for you? Do you see your need for God to come and fix you? Right? The Bible says that he that comes to God must believe that he is. Hebrews chapter 11. Must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. She got to the point where she believed he was him. But she then got to the point to believing that him, Jesus, I know the English wasn't real good there, but the one who was standing before her was the one who was able to give the living water. Glory to God. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, make me clean. Make me clean, God. Get my heart to the point where I can hear and see you completely. Now watch, because it's an interesting interaction. Verse 27, and at this point, his disciples came and marveled, and they talked that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman left her and water part, and he went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And when they went out of the city and came to him, now watch, this is a group, this is a whole city of men who are Samaritans. Jews didn't have dealings with the Samaritans, and the Samaritans didn't have dealings with the Jews. Are you with me? So watch this. But they said, listen, if Jesus talked to you, maybe he'll talk with us. Come on. Maybe he'll talk with us. Tonight, do you know Jesus? Do you know that he wants to talk to you? Do you know that he wants to give you living water? That he wants to give you answers for the questions that you have? That he wants to give you peace? That he wants to bring you joy? Do you know that? Right? He does. And he will. In the meantime, verse 31, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And he said to them, I have food. Jesus sometimes just blew him away with what he said. I have food to eat which you do not know. Therefore, his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Did you do it? Who did it? Peter, was that you? Andrew, was that you? Bartholomew. It had to be Bartholomew. Nope. See, they didn't see him at his level. Again, we can get trapped into trying to figure out God by our earthly needs, where Jesus is trying to get way past that, because our earthly needs will all be met in him, but we got to get past us and get to him. Verse 34, and Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What was that? What was the finished work? Come on. He said, all mankind can't come to the Father because of sin in their life. And they need a spotless lamb, one who is without sin and without blemish, to come and take their place. And so I've come to do that, and I'm not going to just start out, but I'm going to finish. Did you know that Jesus could have called angels at any time and said, I'm done with this? But he didn't. He's not a quitter. He's not quitting. Come on, he's not quitting on you. He finished the work. Aren't you glad he did? Aren't you glad he did? Verse 35, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already ripe for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap where for which you have not labored, others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Now watch this. Jesus wants us to be the water that waters the seed that maybe some others have sown. How do you do that? You do that by being with Jesus and then going out and blessing other people. It's not about me. It's about Him and being used by Him. Where? Everywhere. Everywhere. We were talking about it a little bit earlier. It's like, are you waking up in the morning saying, I've got this eternal life on the inside of me. I've got this spring of life. Am I letting it come out onto other people? Or am I just thinking about myself? Am I willing to lay my life down for others, or am I really more concerned about what others will lay down for me? The greatest thing that we can do is say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Use me. Where? Everywhere. When? Anytime. Glory to God. I don't know how we got intimidated and out of sorts, but is it that hard to say, you know, to somebody that you're watching somebody in a checkout line and they're just having a miserable day or whatever? God bless you. Jesus loves you. You know, let me pray for you. Is there anything I can pray for you about? You know, and just being genuine for Jesus rather than, bless God, I've been waiting in this line for 5 minutes and that person in front of me. Oh, how come I always get in those lines where somebody has to return something to the back of the store and then walk all the way to the back? God, forgive me. Use me, Lord, to bless them somehow. Let me pray for them. Y'all getting something tonight? He wants that living water to come through us. He has an opportunity for us to go into the world. And it's because we believed in Him, because we've allowed Him to examine our hearts, for Him to empty us of ourselves so that we can let Him shine through us and then let God use us in a powerful way. Glory to God. Here's this woman. She's been married 5 times. She's a Samaritan woman. Not a very clean one at that. And Jesus uses her to open the hearts of His disciples to see a different perspective. And remember, she went into town. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in Him because of the word the woman testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. Imagine in a place where He wasn't supposed to be, because people's hearts were turned to Him. You may not measure up. You may not think that Jesus would ever come to your house, but all it takes is a heart to say, I need a Messiah. Jesus, I need You. I'm opening my heart, Lord. Anything You have to say to me, I'm open to. God, I want to receive everything that You have for me just the way that I am. Show me, Lord. I want to talk with You. Tonight He wants to talk with us. Tonight He wants to give us miracles. Tonight He wants to open our hearts up and get us to begin to believe again that the life of God actually lives in me. That when I pray for somebody, it's not just me saying words and my hands being laid on them, but it's the life of God that comes from His Spirit to my spirit and the anointing that flows through me. When I pray, it's like He's praying. That when I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, You said lay hands on the sick and they should recover. God, I'm just believing You for that. Lord, I need wisdom. This person needs wisdom. You said if we ask for wisdom, You give it. We got to start believing the promises again. We've got to start quoting the promises again. We've got to start seeing ourselves in light of what Jesus has accomplished for us. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. And I personally, Lord, want to repent for being slack in my believing. God, you've done so many things for me. You've been so good to me. You provided so well for me. And yet sometimes, Lord, I get selfish. Forgive me. Forgive me. If you're here tonight, just close your eyes. If you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you did it one time, might have been when you were a child, but you're not living for Him, and He's speaking to your heart right now, whether you're watching on the internet or here in the room, and you say, Jesus, I'm hearing you tonight. And I want to come to you just the way I am. I want to receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to rededicate myself to live my life out of that living water. If that's you tonight, raise your hand here or at home. Just stand before the Lord and just say, Lord, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. Come on, if that's you tonight, dig deep inside of yourself and say, Lord, I just need you. The Bible says that if you come to Him, He will in no wise throw you out. He said if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you'd be saved. So right now, I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer. Just pray this, but believe it, and God's going to do a work in you. Repeat this after me. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I come to you just as I am. I know that I can never measure up to your goodness. I can never be as holy as you are. So I need a Savior. And Jesus, I recognize that you are the Messiah. You are the Anointed One. So I say with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. You are the Messiah. I believe it, and so I'm saying it. Be Lord of my life. I believe that, Father, you've raised Him from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for coming into me and filling me, making me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer tonight, get with somebody. Tell them that you've met Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Give me a call. Give somebody else that you know a call. God loves you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.